Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Everybody, John and Lance, along with Dell, and off we go. That's right, we're early. Dell, you started us 30 seconds before we were supposed to start. How are we going to get that back? Is that going to be translated in our checks? I would hope, Dell, that you're going to make a note of this. Tell Todd exactly where when we started, or maybe we'll just go 30 seconds early. Okay, yeah. All right. Because
did the Astros get paid more for scoring 14 runs?
Oh, well, or extra inning games?
Yeah.
No,
the Nets get paid extra for lengthening the series?
For more guys having to play because Kyrie, who's little, poor little Kyrie.
He's done.
That didn't look good.
He's going to be done. Let's start with the Astros because the good guys win. Unfortunately, Luis Garcia's little win streak ended on Saturday. However, Fromber once again showed why he's one of the top pitchers in the American League yesterday with a very, very strong performance in the bats. You know, Uncle Mike just went to work. Astros just completely pummeled the Twins yesterday, and it was the bats just went ballistic, 14 runs yesterday, and they're starting to get their homer groove. Have you noticed that your guy Straw is almost hitting 260 now? He keeps moving up and up.
He's 256.
You know what he's hitting for the last like 8 games? Go take a look. Straw's been on a little bit of a roll.
So I get it. Do you know what McCormick is hitting right now?
Yeah, he's like 200, but
what his OPS is?
Yeah, it's 8 something.
Yeah, it's right below Kyle
Tucker. McCormick's doing a nice job, too. And I think that's one of the reasons those two guys, when you have those two guys pop up and are getting base hits, and McCormick's getting home runs and doubles and stuff like that.
His slugging is .506.
Yeah, it's
which
nice.
Which is just below Yordan. It's the same as Kyle Tucker's. And Kyle Tucker has been on a tear. Oh, by the way, Kyle Tucker continues to rake.
Oh, no.
His bombs are unbelievable.
I'm going to tell you, Kyle Tucker right now looks so comfortable at the plate. He's not now. I'm trying to get a feel for who he reminds me of. And I tell you, his swing a little bit reminds
Teddy
me
Ballgame.
Of. No, okay. No. But it's still a good one, though, and I don't want people to go too over the top on it. And for some, it won't make any sense to you, but if you're too young. But he's got kind of a sweet Will Clark swinging vibe to me right now. He's not exactly the same body type. You know, he's a little bit more upright.
Will reminded me of Phil Mickelson, the perfect lefty swing. Tucker is a little
smooth.
Bit stiffer.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not quite as fluid, but he looks that kind of comfortable up at the plate. And right now, you got Altuve, who's really seeing the ball well, banging it out. Correa's hot. Like, Bregman's making big contact with it. Yordan's back. McCormick's hitting with some power. And, of course, Kyle Tucker, as you mentioned. And Uncle Mike's back. I mean, they're assailing people right now.
Back. Did you hear Dusty? We got some great sound from Dusty about him, about Michael Brantley.
What a miracle that they bring him. I thought we were dead to rights with Michael Tucker. I mean, with Michael Brantley. And with Brantley coming back on the 2-year deal, it was 2-year deal, right?
Yeah.
With him coming back, it was like, oh my gosh. Thinking that you're going to lose Brantley and George, because you know you're going to lose Correa. But Brantley, Correa, and Springer would have been rough. But at least having a guy like Brantley back for 2 years, what a major impact he has on that lineup.
Yeah. No, it's this team just looks so good. Now, it was the Twins.
Yeah.
So you take that with a grain of salt. But Pineda, Pineda, there's the reason he's not in New York anymore. But Pineda, they just, and Dobnak, goodness gracious. But I did feel bad. I wanted Garcia to win again. And now, you saw the story that they came out, Dusty came out and said they're talking about a 6-man rotation. I don't see it, but they're talking about it. At least, at the very least, they're thinking about it. And you know what? It eases up, but it doesn't bolster the bullpen at all. Now, maybe that's James Click's job, and we talked about it in AJ and I did a Sports Map video that you can see on YouTube. Go to YouTube and look us up, Sports Map HOU. And we talked about, you know, who's at fault here. And you can't blame Dusty. You just can't. Because what do you want him to do? He's got to keep throwing. AJ likened it to you go to the fridge and there's all this rotten stuff in there and you say, well, just grab something and make dinner. Because that's all you can do. That's all you can do because this is the hand that he's dealt. This is on James Click. He's got to bolster this bullpen. You can't count on it. One thing that would bolster the bullpen is one of these starters going to it. Javier has bolstered the bullpen by going to the pen. If Garcia's got to go to the pen, Garcia's got to go to the pen. And you know what? You just do what's best for the team.
Well, so in a six-man rotation, I want to make sure on this one. There is... Would the Astros play it like, yeah, it's a six-man rotation, but we're skipping certain guys based on length of rest from one series to the next series? In other words, are you going to stay completely on the schedule and knock all the pitchers off the schedule?
What purpose does that serve if you're skipping guys? Because then you got to skip them, and then he's got to wait again. Then he might not pitch for 2 weeks. Why not put him in the pen?
I guess not. I just, you know, I understand the concept of the six-man rotation potentially to slow down innings for certain players. But I'm with you. It doesn't – you want less of – I guess all the pitchers are pitching fairly well. I mean, I still want to see a little bit more from Urquidy.
Odorizzi.
I don't even count Odorizzi. But
well, what do you mean Urquidy? He's in the rotation?
Yeah. But –
well, he's one of those six guys.
Well, as long as there's a six-man rotation, he's in a six-man rotation. Yeah. Lance McCullers has showed that he's, you see his little swagger when he had the strikeout with the Skeeters, and like he was strutting back to the dugout. It was like watching Nature Boy Ric Flair or George Jefferson
with
a strut. But I'm just not a huge fan of taking the ball out of Fromber's hands a little more often. Like, I'm sure teams would love it. Like, oh, sweet, we got Odorizzi and Urquidy, and that's awesome. Less Fromber would be great.
Right.
Like, and when Zach Greinke's throwing well, less Zach Greinke. I don't think Zach Greinke's going to be hurt by innings necessarily.
I don't think Zach would mind. Every 6 days? Okay. Then
I think you're wrong. I think Zach Greinke is going to want to stay. This is your schedule, Zach, and you can count on it. I don't think he's going to like disruptions in schedules. And I don't think – I'll bet you Lance McCullers comes out and says something negative about it. Like, that's not the way I came up pitching or something like that.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, you don't go to a six-man rotation. I mean, you just don't. Just,
literally gone from four-man to five-man to
six-man. Make a tough decision. You know what? That's what you get paid for. Click. Make a tough decision. And, oh, by the way, go get somebody, too. Because there's already trades going down. There have been a couple of trades. There were a couple of trades this weekend and involved relievers that you go, okay, let's get something done. You got to bolster this pen. Something has got to happen. And you got to make, all right, Joe Smith, go away. Bye. You can't pitch anymore. Rayleigh, bye. See ya. You know, can't pitch anymore. You just got to make some tough decisions. And I don't know if you like it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But this team has got something special going on. This is a very, very good baseball team that's at the top of Major League Baseball. I mean, when you look at the Yankees and how where they are, we got some Aaron Boone sound where he's pissed off and snapping at a reporter about the team and how bad it is. Tough toenails. They're sick. They're 8.5 games out of first place. The Yankees, 33-32.
They're headed in the wrong
fourth
direction.
Place in the division lineup.
Listen, you hate to see it.
No, I don't.
You hate to see it.
For
a guy like Gerrit Cole who's worked his ass off. You hate to see it for a quality organization like the Yankees. You hate to see it for a city that's really got a fan base that is, you know, I think a very sane fan base. I struggle to come up with a better word for that.
Mm-hmm.
Very sane. A very consistent fan base. You know, they want to do the right thing all the time. You hate seeing that for them. But we'll just see. And you hated seeing the Astros, you know, go full daddy ball on the Red Sox. That was a sad move. And next up, you're going to hate to see it. Are we done with the Dodgers?
Are we done with the Dodgers?
No, we go to LA, right?
We didn't go to LA yet. No, we go to the Dodgers.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm going to hate to see it for the Dodgers.
But look at how many series now you're
hate
picking
to see
up.
Trevor Bauer.
This team has only lost one series out of its last, two series, the Rangers series and the San Diego series. That's the only two series since they lost to the Yankees. They lost two out of three to the Yankees on May 6th. Over a month of great baseball, and they're still two games back. Still two games back in the American League West. The A's are a good baseball team. The A's are good, and they're tough. But this is a better baseball team than the A's. This team is going to win the division, and this team is going to, I hope anyway, you don't want to be the wild card, but this team is going to win the division, and you got to do something. James Click has got to, we got to start seeing James Click do some stuff now. I mean, James Click, what? That's right. James Click, what? When I said that the first time, I meant it. I meant it about James Click. And you know what? James Click is partly responsible for the way Tampa Bay is the best team one of the best teams in baseball. The best team now in baseball.
Tampa is legit.
Legit. And that's because James Click, what? That's right. And so James Click, what? Okay. Bring that same Tampa magic here.
Well, do something.
Let's go. Is he the most incognito general manager that we have?
I don't ever hear anything about
him. I know. Rafael Stone was busy. I mean,
Rafael Stone's pretty quiet too, though.
No, but
throughout the season.
But how many moves did he have to make?
Yeah, he had a big one. He had one.
How many moves did he have to make? James Click is just sitting there. Okay, just keep going, guys. Okay, maybe we'll go to a 6-man rotation. No, how about we make some decisions around here? Let's go, James Click. What? 713-780-3776 and bring in some relievers here. Let's go.
How hard is that?
It's not that hard.
How hard is that? Just get one arm in. Get Baez back. Get one arm in. You know, Josh James was the great hope at one point. Then it was the Nolly Paredes, these big arm guys. I thought, man, he may have some closing potential. Nope and nope so far. You're still waiting to see one of those big arms catch fire in the bullpen. We just haven't seen it. And even though, yeah, I get it. We maybe got tired of seeing Will Harris. That was a guy who was pretty freaking consistent for about 6 years. Like Will Harris is a pretty consistent pitcher, generally speaking, over the course of a very long season. He had his moments, and unfortunately a lot of times it was like in the playoffs. But they really miss a Brad Peacock or a Will Harris right now in the bullpen. They really do.
Yeah. Brad Peacock, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, Peacock can swing back. Yeah, look. If Odorizzi could be Peacock, I think I'd be okay with it, even though you're paying him more.
Yeah. Out of the pen, I don't know about, yeah.
Well, you know, Peacock could swing and do either one of those.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that's
long innings of relief.
That might be Luis Garcia. You know what? That might be Luis Garcia. We'll see. 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here. We haven't even talked about the basketball. We got to talk. There's some good stuff going on, like great stuff going on in the NBA. And the main reason is that maybe no James will win a title this year. And it's looking worse and worse.
For the Jameses?
For the Jameses, yes.
The Jameses are in trouble here.
One James is already out.
One James is gone.
The other James is now all of a sudden going, holy crap.
We'll tell
crap.
You why. It's a real toss-up now to see if one of the Jameses still has a shot. Things are a-changing.
713 ESPN 97.5. It's time for me to talk about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute. Oh, Jonathan Joseph's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, too.
Oh, yeah.
We got Jonathan Joseph coming
in studio?
No, he's going to call in. He's going to call in. So we'll have that at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk right now about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite and getting big, big, big jobs done. What is it that you got to get done? I mean, you got your entire backyard that you need to redo, an entire kitchen that you want to put in there. How about redoing all your countertops, your cabinets, everything in your old kitchen? You can't, guys, you just your business or your home, you've got to upgrade. You've got to update. You've got to make it better. Otherwise, it just gets old, and you ain't going to be able to resell that thing ever. Do you, and who wants to live in an old, nasty place? Who wants a, their business to be old and nasty? People will not come back to it. You're looking for a big job, a big renovation, or you want to put that outdoor kitchen in with the pool in the backyard. Jeff Aronoff is here for you. That's what he does. Big jobs. So if you're looking for that big job, give him a call. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 716 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Since last we talked to you, the 76ers on Friday night beat the Hawks 127-111. The Suns took care of the Nuggets in the third game of that series at Denver, 116-102. Chris Paul was unbelievable. He had 27. Then, on Saturday, the Clippers beat the Jazz. That make that series 2-1. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday,
they blasted the Jazz in the fourth quarter.
Yesterday, the Bucks took care of the Nets, 107-96, 34 for Giannis. And Kyrie got hurt in it. And then the Suns beat the Nuggets 125-118. Jokic got ejected for a foul in which he really, he wound up, hit across the face.
He was slapping at the ball. His forearm caught a little bit of the head and definitely the nose.
Yeah.
It was unintentional, but it was a, it was an intentional motion. I don't think he meant to hit the guy in the face, but he did mean to hit the ball hard, and he was frustrated.
I mean, I mean, he wound up now, and that's the definition of
the wind-up and follow-through.
I mean, some guys disagree. Trae Young came up. Trae Young, John Morant, what do you guys
– Well, they're players.
I mean, I know they're players, but – and then other guys are like, dude, you can't just wind up and wail on a guy.
But it was – I would say it was accidental that he hit the guy across the nose.
But he still
– But it happened, and that's – but a flagrant two versus flagrant one the question.
It was accidental that a guy – the guy got shot when I was robbing him with a gun. But it was an accident. I didn't mean to.
Well, I mean, is that a flagrant one? Was that a worse foul than – I've seen people stay in games with worse fouls. I mean, the guy went to the ground like he had been murdered.
Yeah, pain.
I thought I saw murder. I honestly thought I saw murder based on the reaction that Payne had.
Yeah.
I thought there was a murder.
Who do you... Oh, man. I'm not even going to do that one. Not the Christian Erickson thing. I'm not doing that.
No.
So,
that is something else we'll get to, though.
Jokic got ejected. They couldn't win. 125-118. The
Named
Suns
MVP,
sweep.
By the way. Hmm? I think on Friday, right? When he was named MVP, or was it earlier? No, it was earlier last week.
It was Thursday-ish.
Yeah, we
talked about it. So we talked
MVP
about it
is
the show.
Out, but he did everything he could. I mean, he did everything he could. Listen, Chris Paul's on a heater right now.
Chris Paul, he had 37 in that one. He had 27 tonight. His mid-range, he can't miss. He is real.
If he
could stay healthy for two more series.
Remember when he was washed up the second year with the Rockets? I mean, that was literally everyone's belief. This guy's washed up. He's definitely not washed. This is the power right here. He said this is his power. Bone broth.
Is that why
this is in honor of Chris Paul?
Why do you have bone broth?
Why do you have bone broth?
Because that's what I'm drinking.
Why?
Because I'm drinking it, Dale.
But
in honor of Chris Paul. Chris Paul drinks bone broth to keep himself right.
And chicken bones? Chicken bone broth?
Chicken bone broth, yeah. It's good. High protein, low calorie.
Are
good
you
for
doing
your gut
the other
health.
Things that Chris Paul does to stay in condition?
Oh, man, I'm starting with the bone broth.
Hmm.
So I mean, why do you got to go there? Am I doing the other stuff?
At some point. About like running
right now, for
8 miles a day.
You don't start that regimen until you're properly
like Chris Ball. So what you're doing is eating a beef byproduct is what you're doing.
It's chicken.
Or so you've decided.
But with rosemary and lemon.
You decided to honor Chris Paul by adding calories?
No, actually subtracting. Like if this is a lunch.
You're not going to eat anything else.
It's going to be like 140 calories.
Is that all you're going to eat?
Paul does so he can keep his calorie count down. He even said that. He has to do that stuff to keep his weight down so he can not get hurt. So it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Am I going to do the other stuff? Yeah, I'll start to do the other Chris Paul stuff and work that into my regimen when I'm ready after I get enough bone broth.
You're going to run 7 miles every game? Okay.
I don't know if that's what he does, but I'm going to get
some. I don't know how many times, how much
I'm
you
gonna
run.
I'm going to get some steps in.
Steps?
Well, unlike you, Chris Paul has a long memory, so you guys reference him being done. He remembers all that slander.
But it's not about that. I'm so grateful to my family, my team. A couple years ago, they was writing me off. You can't do this. And this ain't about me. It's about us. Show you what you can do when you come together as a team. We got a great team over there, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of it.
Chris was trash talking somebody. I didn't even see who it was. I told you the story on Friday about how a friend of mine was. She ended up courtside at Lakers Suns in the playoffs because she got a ticket from a guy on the Lakers bench, where her brother did. And so they're sitting. They didn't realize their seats were literally courtside. And she heard everything that Chris Paul said. And she said, Chris Paul was talking trash. He trash-talked Vera Wang. He trashed. That's not a joke. The one who makes the dresses. Well, she started it. He was all into LeBron James. Like, he couldn't stop trash-talking LeBron. And they're friends. But he wouldn't stop. Chris takes it super serious. I saw a podcast, a video cast of that, where's Chris Paul, JJ, it's JJ Redick's. JJ does it with some other guy. And JJ Redick said he made Chris Paul mad at one time for, I don't know, he pushed Chris Paul or did something. And Chris Paul held a grudge for literally almost all of eternity until they were teammates. Like, Chris Paul is the guy who writes names down. He doesn't have a lot of buddies in the league because he didn't go out. He's like family guy who works on his game.
He's on the banana boat.
Yeah, he was on that. That's one of the only things he's done.
That's why everybody thinks he's going to get back with LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron will certainly
he's
call for
opt out of his $44 million deal.
That's not a great option where you choose to get older. If you're LeBron and you choose to make your team older.
Yeah, but if it's Chris Paul older.
Yeah, but he's also due for a season where he has some stuff. Like,
would
it's
you
been a couple
have
him seasons.
Or Schroeder?
Oh no, I'd rather have him.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him, but I don't know that that's a smart move for them, but regardless, for right now Chris is playing great, but you can tell Chris Paul's a guy who he's been a name taker his whole life. He is a little baby Jordan when it comes to remembering what people say and then using that as fuel. He loves that kind of stuff. So, he's eating that up right now. The question is, can he stay healthy? It's not the ability, I don't think. Although he has had moments where he's been healthy and he just didn't come through, like against the Rockets when he was with the Clippers. But for Chris Paul right now, I think it's just about, can he stay healthy? Because if he can stay healthy, remember, he got banged up the first couple games, and then I guess he got it back. His shoulder is all better. And now we're looking at a scenario where Kyrie Irving twisted his ankle, and that sucker, he ain't coming back for the Bucks series. That's not happening. James has missed every game since the very beginning of the first quarter where he got hurt. So now we'll see if he plays in game 5, because now it's best 2 out of 3 in that series, and you have potentially no James and no Kyrie.
Well, and Chris and Nash says that James is there's a gap, and he ain't coming back. Right, he ain't coming back for this game.
Yeah, it's. I'm telling you, these hamstrings are tough. They're tough. It depends on how bad it is. But so if James misses this one, I mean, they got to win this game here, or it's going to be, or it could be four straight wins for the Bucks, and we're done.
Yeah. Wow. If so, no James.
No James Harden and no LeBron James. And those are the two favorites for almost the entire year, the two favorites to meet up in the Western Conference. LeBron is gone. This could end up being Chris Paul and Giannis.
How much does this hurt the NBA if
neither of those? It could be Chris Paul and Joel Embiid. It could be Daryl Morey versus Chris Paul.
How much does the NBA suffer if it's not, if the Nets and Lakers aren't there?
Zero. I don't know what they, I don't know what they'd suffer from.
Well,
you think
ratings,
fans would leave the
ratings?
I don't care.
I mean, you lose. Like, you lose. Not, that's a lot of star power.
I started realizing it's not your money. It's not my money. Why do we care?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Why do
I
we
know,
care about
I know
the
that,
ratings?
But you know, hurts the league. They'll get whatever ratings they get,
they
and everybody's
their,
still going to make their money. There's
still,
no question about
their
that.
Average, they got their TV deal already. It's it's not going to change. So what will the ratings be? I mean, it'll be lower for
It's
the Bucks versus the Suns.
But at least you have some star power there in Giannis.
Yeah, but the Clippers. But is he star power for the average?
Yeah, he's a 2-time MVP.
I get that. Is the average sports fan who tunes in around playoff time, are they into Giannis? I don't know. He doesn't do commercials that I know of. He doesn't have a lot of flair. I don't know that Giannis is a guy that everyone tunes in for. As a matter of fact, who is that guy right now? It's not really Kawhi. It's not Chris Paul. It's not Donovan Mitchell. I would argue that there's not a lot of juice from the average sports fan who doesn't follow the NBA close, but just kind of, I like the NBA. I check out my favorite team.
Durant brings eyes.
Durant is the one guy.
Yeah.
Durant's the one guy. But it's not Embiid, although maybe Embiid's got the commercials and stuff. I don't think it's Giannis. I think the Bucks are kind of a boring team relative to the Flash.
LeBron brings eyes. A lot of eyes.
Who?
LeBron.
Right, but I said the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying who brings
eyes
to the
in.
Table. No, I understand that. I'm saying
what's left. What's left?
Right.
Kawhi and Paul George is not an exciting duo for the average person.
Well, look what's going to come out of the West. It's got Jazz or the Suns. Now, the Suns are a great story.
Were you writing off the Clips? I'm not going to write the Clips off at 2-1. They play at home again. They could easily 2-2 that thing.
I like the Jazz.
And they're the favorite.
I like the Jazz the rest of the way. I like the Jazz.
Jazz are like a 185 favorite. Clippers are like plus 150.
Yeah.
To win the series.
Right.
Makes sense. What does it happen? What happens when it goes 2-2? I'm interested to see. I haven't seen it yet. What the series odds are right now.
The Suns are the favorite overall. The Suns are the favorite overall right now to win the NBA title.
Maybe we can ask Jonathan Joseph what he thinks.
Yeah, we can. On the other side, we're going to ask
Joe is a basketball
that's
fan?
What we're going to
ask. He's a basketball fan.
Jay Joe is going to love basketball. Are you kidding me? Well, we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, let's get our car washed.
Talk about Charisma Car Wash, and you're welcome. I put this code out there for everyone and got like 18 retweets on it and over 120 likes on this. That's because, and several people went and took advantage of it this weekend. Here's the deal. Let me tell you guys the hookup. When you go to Charisma Car Wash, and there's three locations in Houston, just Google CARISMAWASH.com, CharismaWASH.com. You'll find one of the three locations, and when you stop in, use the promo code 5975. They're going to do this for the entire month of June. $10 off of your car wash. When it's the ultimate wash, which is usually $14, it goes down to $4. Or the lava wash, which is their premium wash, goes from $7 down to $17, down to $7. $10 off your wash. Spread and listen, use it as often as you want. Tell your friends, your neighbors, whoever, that this $10 discount is going to go on through the month of June, but you have to use the promo code 5975. They're open every day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with locations in the Heights between Shepherd and Yale, location at Kirby and West Park and Bissonnette, and then Gulfgate just inside Loop 610. This is a great time for you to take advantage of it. It's real good. It's real fast. And even their standard wash every single day, even when there's no massive discount, it's just $6. So drive through, get it done quickly. And remember, $10 discount will only last for the rest of this month. 5975. Stop in at a Charisma Car Wash.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Jonathan Joseph going to be calling us here in a minute on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be talking to him about retiring, about his career here. I think he's making the rounds today.
You know, so. I know he's retiring because he'll get up and do something at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, he was actually going to come in studio.
Oh, actually, football players are the one group of players that have to get up early and go to work.
Yeah, no, baseball players, forget about it. No
basketball.
Chance. Basketball,
remember,
no chance.
Remember, we couldn't get Astros unless you can get guys. All, except, let's have kids. Like, we could always, we can get McCullers on. We could always get Lance Berkman on. But it's hard getting, remember at Lima? Lima would have to come in when he was out all night, still awake.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Lima would come in. But getting baseball players and basketball players, whoo, in the morning, that's rough.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Dell, I'm sending you his number. He was going to call us, but instead you call him. I just sent it to you. So you got that. 713-780-3776. Oh, he's not making the rounds. This is the only station he's going to do today.
Good.
Well, he could have done it later then. Martin, he could have done that.
I talked to somebody with the Colts, not Ballard, but I talked to their analytics guy about not practicing and stuff, and they talked about all the things that they did in practice. I think this may start to be the new thing is if they can get massive attendance numbers, if they can get big attendance numbers, and I'm talking about in the league, I think there are going to be teams who start saying, okay, if you show up at these OTAs, all the three phases or four phases, whatever it is, if you show up for this 3 or 4 week run, then we'll shut down that, we'll hook you up by shutting down the mini camp, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what the Texans did, what the Colts did, what the Eagles did, and what the 49ers did could be something that more teams look at doing.
Yeah, I guess this is a time.
And it's a way to entice them to show up at OTAs.
This isn't 1968. This is the time when you negotiate with your players. It's a time when you give and you take.
Well, they've already given the league has given a lot when it comes to the practice times and stuff like that. Yeah. But I think they're...
Well,
they're
it was ridiculous. Though,
well, they're basically trying to just say, listen, do you think you guys can show up? Please, everyone show up at the OTAs.
Well, it's voluntary. So you know what? If you show up, hey, well, you know what? We'll give you that a couple days off. I have this faux anger that was, if that's 2 days of practice that they're going to miss and that this is a horrible football team and they need to be out there and. This ain't gonna matter.
I was fine.
2 days ain't gonna matter.
Like
they had them for 4 weeks. You think that 2 days is really gonna make a huge difference in this season?
No, but I was fine with them doing that, and then having the last day be a fun day and surprise the team.
No, I was too. I mean, do they need to practice? Yes. Are they a bad football team? Yes. Are there new coaches, new players? Yes. All of those things were true, but that it's gonna affect in any way, shape, or form this upcoming season.
No.
Stop.
No.
Stop. I mean, they had them for 4 weeks, and if I'm the coaching staff, listen, let's get everybody we can in here for those 4 weeks, and we'll give up 2 days. Done. That's smart. That is actually kind of it's actually a lot smarter. You know, even if it's not nearly as orchestrated and organized and everything else, they could have used that 2 days. But who cares? Goodness gracious! We're months and months away from a football season. So we're working on getting J. Joe. We'll get him in here. I don't know if it's going to be this segment, but it's going to be a segment soon. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5, you are more than welcome to do that. Maybe you can give a hand over there, my man, and see if he will. We've been calling him and we're not getting a hold of him. So there is that. Since we're on the subject of football, Derrick Henry came out for whatever reason, and he had some complimentary stuff to say about Zach Cunningham. He plays an extremely high level and maybe the most underrated player on
this?
The Houston Texans. Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry would know.
Okay.
Derrick Henry is a guy who meets linebackers head-to-head in quite often at the line of scrimmage or even a few yards down. I don't know how he doesn't get more recognition than he does, Henry said. You don't ignore the things that he be doing. he's the truth. Huh. That's high praise for an opposing running back, and especially the best running back in the game.
Especially the one who shredded Zach Cunningham for 200 yards a game, like on average. You know what that is? That's like keep him in the game. You know what this feels like? This feels like he's incepting the Texans to keep Zach Cunningham no matter what. Like, you know who's really good? That's like a pitch. That's like the Astros, or that's like the opposing team saying, honestly, I know he's a little bit erratic, but when Paredes is in there, man, it's just tough. Like, we struggle with Paredes because we know he's a little wild, but he's also really talented. We hate seeing the Astros bring Paredes in the game. You know who's the worst for us to see, honestly, is when Stanek gets in the game, we cower in fear. When the Astros bullpen comes in, that's a damn good bullpen. That's like somebody in the division saying that's a damn good bullpen. You run for 200 yards a game against the Texans, and this is the guy he singles out? I tell you what, when I get to be 13 yards down the field and I look down like, who tackled me? There it is, same guy every time. Well, Cunningham.
This is
every
Derek
single time.
Derrick Henry's version of saying, oh, you guys are close.
Yeah. When Bob McNair heard that at the Baltimore game?
Yeah, you guys are close.
Well, but here, I think this might have had a huge amount to do with it. When asked about Cunningham, he says the signature play for him that summed up Cunningham's talent was the forced fumble late in the third quarter of Week 17 with the Texans trailing 31-21. Cunningham, who was locked up with a blocker, spun around and popped the football loose from Henry, who was chasing the NFL record for most rushing yards in a season. Mm. Henry says, if he doesn't hit that ball, how close do I get to that record? And, you know, he did backhanded. You remember that? I don't know if you remember that. Anyway, he spun around, knocked the ball loose, and Derrick Henry finishes with 2,027 on the year, and the rushing record was 2,105.
Of course, he was 5 yards down the field when he made the play.
Yes, he was 5 yards down. And he had 250 rush yards in the game.
Well, he did cause that fumble.
So what Derrick Henry is saying, I might have had 380 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little insulting.
Can you imagine what I would have done? It's a little, not for that. Boy, that Cunningham guy is a real rascal,
By the way, it's a little insulting because Henry has, like, a safety coming down on him and another safety with somewhat of an angle. So I would have just ran by those guys. Look, how close would I be? Realistically, you look at the play, okay, he gets an extra 5 yards, but he knows who he's playing against. I would have ran through or over or by that guy. That's probably another 30 yards he took away from me.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So, J-Joe was the one who's hopefully we're going to get him soon. He was the one that told a buddy of mine, he said, man, Derrick Henry in practice, bro, he's like tackling Jadeveon Clowney. He is a beast. A beast. And, you know, J-Joe was with the Titans for a cup of coffee and then went over to the Cardinals. But he said, man, tackling that dude, holy crap, that is a man. That is a man. So, you know, I guess maybe it was, 250 yards rushing. He fell 80 yards short of 80-some yards short of the rushing record. He already had 250. He thought he would have had over 300 if not for Zach Cunningham.
And that's what he gives Zach bonus points.
That's why Zach gets the bonus points.
That guy's a beast out there just running me down, sideline to sideline, 17-yard gains left and right.
Like, yeah,
don't tell me anyone from the Texans is a beast on run defense when you get 200 yards a game.
A game.
Stop.
A game.
Like, on the regular, he gets
200. This man can't even talk about Zach Cunningham chasing him down for a tackle for loss or sideline to sideline. He made a blind swipe at me once. That's what I remember.
And stopped me from getting that other 80
yards. For lighting this team up for 300-plus. Beast.
What a beast.
It's the truth.
Man, he is. He is a real deal. Don't know how he doesn't get more credit on that 4-win team. You know, what with making those tackles, you know, 15 yards downfield. I don't know how he doesn't get more credit. All right, well, we'll continue to work on getting J-Joe in here. It'll be fun to have him and talk to him about retiring and his time here and what he thinks about what's going on with football, with the players and opting out and being able to negotiate with teams. Now, I'm sure when J-Joe got into the league, especially with the Bengals.
Yeah. Bengals let guys go. I didn't realize this. Dusty sent me some of the names. Like, remember Andrew Whitworth?
Yeah.
He's played plenty of football at a very high level. And he's just one of the names.
That's what I wanted the Texans to
hear. Marvin Jones is another one. Marvin Jones,
played some great. He's going to be on his third. He's on his third team now. Marvin Jones was very good with the Bengals too. Like, they just let guys go.
Mm-hmm.
That you is what, like, they do.
Yeah.
But then they hang on to other guys, like Giovanni Bernard. He seems like he's been there an unusual amount of time. Like, why is he there that long?
Yeah. Well, you know, but I don't know that those names are quite like, you know, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, Jadeveon Clowney. It's not really, you know.
No, but Whitworth is a really good, like, that's one of those guys they screwed up. You know,
yeah, but who gets rid of their best players on the regular?
Well, Clowney was never the best player. He just had their kind of, he was more reputation-based. Well,
yeah. Okay, J.J.
And J.J.'s older.
Yeah,
But Hop was, you know, that's real.
That's right.
But you can't. Hop was a personality conflict with a head coach who had a personality conflict with everyone.
How about Dwayne Brown?
That was a That was a Whitworthian move.
Yeah, it was Whitworthian. It's 7:42 ESPN 97.5. Well, that's a little jab at the organization.
Zyjab is a company who wants to. They want to make you money, and here's what they want to do for you. They want to take your website that you have right now. They want to redesign it. They want to add different features that are going to be relevant to today's consumer and build a website that not only works from a, you know, a user interface standpoint, but also has a design that is going to be able to keep the attention and the focus on your site. You got to keep people on your site longer. That's the whole key. And what SiteJab does is they allow you to improve your lead generation through opportunities like video production, branding and identity, web design, social media engagement. They can do the entire, they can run the entire spectrum for you as a full service suite of products for your company so that they can manage the website so that it starts to crank up the leads that you need to convert into cash and convert into actual revenue for your company. So small to medium-sized businesses, you'd be a fool not to have a company like SiteJab. Tighten up your website, make it more user-friendly, make it more reader-friendly, and include e-commerce. They can do that for you as well if you need to have e-commerce added to your site. Let SiteJab do it. Over 23 years in the business here in the Houston area. SiteJab.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:45 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. We're still working on getting Jonathan Joseph in here. In the meantime, your Astros winners again, 14-3. Fromber looked good, although Fromber had two strikeouts and three walks in this game. That wasn't very Fromber-like, but Fromber's just around the plate, going to put it in play. The offense was kick-ass. Everybody contributed except Yuli and Bregman. Those were the only two, but they come up with a 20-hit attack and take care of that business. Win another series, just piling up series now. But the A's are still playing some damn good baseball. So this is going to be a race all the way down the stretch. These two are going to go head-to-head, and that's why these two don't really like each other. I think we got J-Jo. We got J-Jo with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jonathan Joseph here on the show. Jonathan, welcome to the show. Congratulations on a great career. And what was it that you said, okay, I just can't do this anymore? What made up the final decision?
I think, you know, when you have time to think to yourself and talk to your family, and then just think about the overall process, you know, what it takes day to day. And I think, you know, at this point in my life that I was at a point to where I just can make that decision to where, you know, at the end of the day, it's best for me and my family to be able to move on from it.
You know, it's funny, you were a Cincinnati Bengal to start your career. I remember watching you out of South Carolina. You go to Cincinnati. And I remember it being a little bit of a surprise that Cincinnati let you go as a free agent. And it was really a turning point for the Texans organization when they were looking at Nnamdi Asamoah But then if Namdi wasn't there, I know the next deal was going to be, well, let's get J.J. and Danielle Manning. Talk about the role that I heard that Wade Phillips also played a big role in bringing you in, that you were a guy that he really targeted and really wanted. Can you speak on that at all?
Yes. So I think in advance, Joseph did a good job of scouting, knowing what they wanted to do, what they wanted to fit into the defense. I think bringing me over, putting me around, the guys they already had in defense, obviously, like you said, and bringing Danielle Manning over, another veteran piece, to put with the young guys they had in the secondary, the guys they drafted, and the guys in the secondary. And they were able to build a powerhouse defense, and then you've seen within a year, we were able to turn the defense around here in the next year, so we built on it. And we were able to keep it a strong thing for at least 4, 5, 6 years.
Was that a fun time for to go for? Well, I want to ask you specifically about Kareem Jackson for a second. Kareem really struggled as a rookie his first year, and you guys came in stabilizing forces as veterans, and Kareem really started to turn it around. Of course, we know he's had a great career since then. Tell us about where Kareem was at that time, because it felt like he might have been a little shell-shocked. But he quickly, turned it around and became a real center point of the defense at some stage during his, as a veteran.
Yeah, I think, obviously experience and just more repetition. And then you throw a veteran guy there like me and Danielle Manning and the defensive coordinator and the defensive back coach we had at the time, I think he's able to grow into his role. I think, anytime you're in the league, guys draft it, and then they think it should be immediate experience. And a guy like Kareem was a guy that had to kind of mature into his role, grow into his role. And I think, I was able to let him, go into that role and help him out along the way. But at the same time, he put that work in himself. I could just only give him the guy that he had to put the work in and, sit there and stay and do all those things to make himself a great player. So, obviously having that long run that me and him had is kind of unheard of as cornerbacks. But I think from him putting that work in and me just being the type of player we are,
just can
about one another. I think it was easy one to
hit
the field on Sunday.
Jonathan Joseph with us here on ESPN 97.5, retiring after a great run here in Houston, 9 years. And let me ask you this, because Andre Johnson and JJ, there was some thought of that, that maybe they wasted their careers here. Any regrets, son? What, you guys were so close. You had a couple of really great years, unfortunately weren't able to get over the top. Any regrets about signing in Houston?
Oh, not at all. My 6 out of 9 years really won the division. Obviously, you like to get closer and try to win the championship, but I think we was able to get the franchise head in the right direction and do a lot of things to get the franchise national recognition. And I think anytime you do that, you leave it in good standards, but you have to continue to build off that. And I think, once we get out far, and, obviously, we're no longer Texas, so we get to be a fan of those guys. But early on, I think we get out far, changing the franchise and put it on the map and getting recognized.
Absolutely. If there's one moment that you remember of your time in Houston, what is it?
One moment. I think that first playoff win, I just remember, how packed the house was, how crazy the fans were, just the energy it was in the building and things like that. I think because that's the ultimate goal, obviously, every season to get to the playoffs. And then, have it in your own building, get that first win and things like that. It was just ecstatic. So I think that's one of the things I always remember.
JJ with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're going to call Houston home. That's where you made most of your career. Your kids are playing great football here. Are you going to coach them up? Are you going to make Houston your place?
That's the goal right now. But I think I just take this thing year by year and just kind of continue to see what's out there for me and what's ahead. And I think at the end of the day, I'm willing to always help the kids out, coach, and do whatever it is. At the end of the day, my heart is in football.
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan Joseph here on ESPN 97.5. What do you make of from the time you came into the league, J.J., to now negotiating with players to not have mini camps and whatnot? And there's even talk now with a 17-game season of load management. What do you make of what's going on now? Is the game better? Is this better for the players than it was when you first got here?
I think it's definitely better. I think, obviously the players lead. But I think, it's all about the overall player safety and things like that and the good of the game. So I think the more time they continue to implement rules for the offseason and things like that, I think it's better for football. But at the end of the day, I know the overall goal is 18 games, and I think some way they will get it there. But I think at the same time, you have to think about player safety and all those things. So I think, you know, guys are going to be smart about off-season football because, you know, you get a lot of repetitions and things into that. And I think, you know, it can't carry into the season and lead to injuries and other things. So you have to be smart about how much wear and tear you put on the guy's body. But at the same time, you have these younger guys that have to come in to get to work and get prepared. So it's a fine line, but I think, you know, it's up to the coaching staff and everyone involved.
Jonathan Joseph joins us, long time NFL starter who is calling it quits. So I'm curious, one of the things that's really happened in the league is it's gone from big wide receiver to quick wide receiver. The league is kind of changing where, I mean, you still have guys who are size, but now a lot of times that size is coming with some impressive speed as well. From a cornerback's perspective, I'm kind of curious from a coverage standpoint, who did you like seeing more, or who would you rather see, a big talented wide receiver or a smaller, quicker, talented wide receiver?
I think it's all about how your offense ran, you know, because now you have so many different type of offensive styles and, you know, different quarterback plays. So I think at the end of the day, you have to get a receiver that's fitting what you're trying to do as an offense and fit what you want as a team, because there's so many different type of receivers, from a guy like Tyreek Hill to a guy like Hopkins to guys like Landry, guys like, you know, Diggs. So it's just what fits your offense most. At the end of the day, you can have multiple guys like that. You know, it's a luxury.
Who did you like covering? Who was a harder cover for you?
Any wide receiver have a quarterback. You can have a great wide receiver and you don't have a top-notch quarterback. That's like with them also.
That's the most important thing when you're playing a guy is the quarterback, huh?
Yeah. Who's a secret quarterback? Who's somebody that we don't – I mean, we know about Tom Brady and all that, but who's a guy that you – always felt like didn't get enough attention for being a really talented passer, a guy who maybe was, you knew you're going to have a tough day, and maybe people don't talk about him enough. Who would that quarterback be over the time that you played?
Honestly, it's week in and week out now. All those guys been coached at a high level. Because each and every week that you go out there on the field, guys are able to carve you up. It's not with guys that just one dimensional, just handed the ball off and things. I think guys are starting to utilize, you know, the whole field. You know, each and every guy that's in the lineup, whether it's 13 personnel, using alignment, using the hitting alignment, or whatever it is. I think, you know, coaches are staying up late night every week trying to game plan, things like that, to find an advantage. So I think, you know, now the quarterback play, offensive players that are all time high on these.
J. Joe with us here on ESPN 97.5. You were with Tennessee, and I heard that you had said, man, this Derrick Henry, he was just talking about Zach Cunningham. And what a beast that Zach Cunningham is on the defensive side. Well, what's it like to try to bring down Derrick Henry?
Man, Derrick Henry, man. A guy like that, he practices that way each and every day to where he prepares to make those long runs and get those long runs. So anytime you have a guy that's physically dominant, and then you put the skill set that he has and put the work ethic that he has, it's going to be hard to stop a guy like that, because when you get in the fourth quarter, and he's still running as strong as he is in the first quarter. You know, it's tough on those DBs, but then, like you said before, now he gets on those linebackers because those guys are the war time. He's a special guy.
No question. You had to cover and practice Andre, and then you had to cover D-Hop. You ended up with D-Hop with the Cardinals there at the end there.
Right.
Who was tougher in practice?
And they both tough because, like I said, every time you have a quarterback nowadays throwing the ball to these guys 12 to 16 times a game, it's tough because, you know, it's not like they're throwing 5-yard hitches and 3-yard sprints. They're forcing the ball downfield. So anytime you have to face guys like that, they always put pressure on the defense and pressure on the defender and be coordinated. So I think it's not one typical guy. It's just, you know, the league as a whole now. Those guys are coming in more polished, more big plays, more downtown passing. So I think it's a passing league.
You could go into politics with that answer.
Right? I know. I can't get it. We're waiting for you to say a name.
Come on.
Give us a name, J. Joe.
I ain't got none.
You didn't care. Did you always want that guy? Did you want to be on a side, or did you want their number one guy?
I want the guy because at the end of the day, I want to get action in the game.
Absolutely. J. Joe with us here on ESPN 97.5. And you talk about player safety. They add another game, J. Joe, the Thursday night game. How hard is it to play those Thursday night games after Sunday?
It's a short week. So, you know, everybody has to be locked in. Everybody has to do a little extra more because, you know, you're coming off a Sunday. You're going to have 3 days to prepare, and your body's doing things like that. So it's one of those things, you know, you get extra time, you know, following the game, but you know, to prepare for that game, you and the other team are on a short week. And I think it's one of those games that's a national televised game most times. So I think it's one of those, the team has to lock in, everybody has to lock in, because on a short week, you need everybody at court because you can't do much game planning, can't get much rep. The guys are playing something hurt, they're probably going to miss the game. So there's a lot they're going to do on a short week.
Yeah, no question. And is it, with all the money that, that you guys make now, you know, a lot of guys have to go into coaching afterwards. Do you still want to be around the game, or are you you know, or you just, that's just, it's just too much work now?
I definitely want to be around the game. I think it's about finding the right balance and the right role for you. So I think, you know, whatever it is and whatever come about, I think I'll be good to go. But it's about finding exactly what fits me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You, coaching. Now, that's a, that ain't no balance in coaching.
Right. At all. I think it's a full-time job. So it's something that I'm interested in, but at the same time, I have to do exactly what's best for me and my family at the time also.
Absolutely. That's Jonathan Joseph right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And, man, what a, you're the greatest free agent signing the Texans ever had. So at least, you know what? You got that. The organization's best ever. You definitely got that on your resume, Jay Joe. It was great watching you for all those years here, and congratulations on a great career, and we really appreciate you spending some time here with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, man. That's Jonathan Joseph right here on the show. He was, I don't think there's any question, he was the best ever. Best free agent signing this team.
Yeah, I can't think of, Antonio Smith was a pretty good one. You can't come up. I mean, he's easily the best.
He's it.
He's easily the best.
I don't think there's any question. 7378.
I can come up with the worst. That won't take long. But we're up against it. It won't take long. It's just
Ed Reed.
We'll have about seven.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the way.
I guessed it. Ed Reed. It's 7:59 ESPN 97.5. I'm talking right now about my peeps over at HRP. HRP.net, HRP.net. That's all you got to do is go to that website and see for yourself how the greatness that is HRP. Now, you know, there's so much to talk about. And you really, if you've got 15, 20 employees, it just doesn't make economic sense for you to be doing your own payroll, to be you even trying to do your own HR because of all the rules and everything else that you just don't keep up with. There is so much that you've got to keep up with that you just can't. And, oh, by the way, you're wasting man hours instead of having someone having the experts do your payroll for you. So you're saving money there. And then you say, well, what about H&P? It's going to be, if it's a little bit more, the payroll is a little bit more. Yeah, but guess what the other companies are doing? They're making you take their 401k plans. They're making you take their insurance plans. They're making you take their benefits packages. And then that's where they're gouging you. H&P gives you straightforward pricing that is not going to gouge, that is going to be, in the long run, in the end, it's going to be less. So all you got to do is go to HRP.net and see for yourself. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
97.5.